that I want to share this morning on how we can really carry on this year of expansion. And to help me do that, I would like us to go to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'll be reading from the NIV version from verse 1. 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 from verse 1. It says here, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.' How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" You know, King Saul was the very first king of Israel. And for 42 years, he was doing a good job until there was an issue with his character. He had issues with his character. And so God decided that he was going to use somebody else instead of Saul. He did a good job until God found issues in his character. And so he said, "I am going to do a new thing in Israel. I am going to do a new thing in Israel." He needed a new king to do the new thing. You know, anytime there's change in leadership, it's a sign that God wants to take you to a new direction. Or God wants to do something different. Anytime there's a change in leadership, it means God wants to do something new. You know, but the only thing that was stopping God, or the only thing that was delaying him from doing this, was because Saul was still mourning. Saul was still mourning. And so Samuel was still mourning. He was the prophet at the time. And so God says to Samuel, "Why are you still mourning? Or how long are you going to mourn for?" The question wasn't, "Why were you mourning?" But how long are you going to mourn for? Because you are delaying what I want to do. Guys, you know, anytime you cry over something that God says is no good, do you know you delay what he wants to do in your life? Anytime you cry over something that God says is no good, you delay what he wants to do over your life. The Bible says, "Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning." But how do you experience that joy if you're still weeping? How do you experience that joy if you're still weeping? You know, if you keep looking back instead of looking forward, you miss what God is going to do. If you keep looking back instead of looking, you miss it. You remember the story of Lot and his wife. The Bible says, "Look, I'm about to do something in Sodom and Gomorrah. I need you to leave town. Do not look back." What did his wife do? She looked back, and what happened? That was the end of her life. You know, if you keep looking back instead of looking forward to what God is about to do, you miss it. How many people here have experienced rejection before? Yeah, everybody has. It's not a good thing at all, rejection. I remember years ago applying for a job with Heinz in Uxbridge. And then I went through the interview stage. I went for the interview. And a few days later, I got a nicely worded letter to say, "We are sorry, we don't want you." Rejection. You know, that did not stop me because I wanted the job so bad. So I applied again, and swiftly I got another letter saying, "You're rejected." I was so upset. I mean, the point I'm trying to make is rejection is bad. Nobody wants rejection. Nobody wants rejection. I mean, I've seen couples kill each other because of rejection. People have committed suicide because of rejection. It's not a good thing at all, rejection. But you see, in this scripture that we read, you see, God does not reject the person of Saul, the king. He rejects him as king over Israel. He doesn't reject him as a person, but he rejects him as king over Israel. It's his position that God has rejected, not him as a person, his position. Now, if you know anything about position, position goes with trust. Position goes with trust. You know, your job has appointed you to where you are because they trust that you can do whatever they've asked you to do, or they trust that you can handle the responsibility that comes with the job that they've given you. Once the trust goes, the position goes. Once the trust goes, I'm standing here right now because Pastor Paul trusts that I can do the job that he's asked me to do. Once that trust goes, this position goes. Position and trust go together. Position and trust go together. You know, it's not by mistake or by accident that Abraham had the position as God's best friend. It was because God trusted Abraham. That is why he had the position as his best friend. Now, anytime you have a position, now listen to this, and this is the point I want to make. Before you can get that trust, there should be a time of testing. So there's going to be a test, and then the trust, and then the position. Because Without the test, there can be no trust. And without no trust, there can't be a position. Am I making sense? Genesis chapter 22, please, Mary. Genesis chapter 22. Just want to show you something. Genesis chapter 22. I'm reading from verse 1. It says, some time later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, you know what I like about Abraham? As soon as God instructs him, early the next morning, he wakes up and he does it. Because he knows that delayed obedience is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Early the next morning, the Bible says he wakes up. He got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. That probably was the longest journey he ever took in his life. Verse 6 says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham. Now this place really breaks my heart. Listen to what he says. He said, father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Now that would break, I'm not a father, yes, but that would break every parent's heart. Do you think that you know what you're about to do to your own child? And the child asks you and you're thinking, you're almost lying to your child. You know, I don't understand why God takes people through certain tests. This is a really hard test, but you know, the harder the test, the bigger the blessing. The harder the test, the bigger the blessing. So Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. In other words, God is saying, now I know that I can trust you. I gave you a test and you passed, and so now I know that I can trust you. And when you read verse 15, you see the blessing that comes with a test. It says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And it carries on. And he lays out the blessing that he's about to give to Abraham. Every test comes with a blessing. Every test you go through in life comes with a blessing. But you see, the thing is, God couldn't have given Abraham that position if he didn't trust him. God couldn't have given Abraham that position if he didn't trust him. Every relationship you have, whether it's a relationship with your boss, whether it's a relationship with your friend, whether it's a relationship with your pastor, if you don't have trust in that relationship, it's just like a car without gas. You can stay in it all you want. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Any relationship without trust is like a car without gas. You can stay in it all you want. It's not going anywhere. And that's why at times some of us, you know, we've been in the Lord for a long time, but it seems like we are still not going anywhere. We've been in the Lord a long time, but it seems like we are not going anywhere. And it's not because God doesn't want to promote us. No, that's far from it. But it's because we keep deferring the test that he brings our way. At times we keep delaying the test that he brings our way. At times we completely even ignore the test that God brings our way. And as long as you continue to ignore the test or delay the test that God brings your way, then eventually there can be no trust. And if there's no trust, then the position isn't there. Am I making sense this morning? So you've got the test, you've got the trust, and then you've got the position. The test, the trust, and the position. It happens all the time. All the time. Now, when I was growing up, I never really used to like tests because I felt tests was to expose my weakness. So I never really used to like, but I got it wrong because a test really can even reveal your strength instead. And more importantly, when you go through a test, it's to prepare you for the next stage. Anytime you go through a test, it's because God wants to prepare you for the next stage. Let me ask a question. How many people here would want to buy a car that hasn't been tested? That you don't have the brake tested, the lights haven't been tested, the clutch, nothing is tested. Would you want to drive a car like that? Why? Exactly. Oh, let me put it this way. Assuming you're all in a private jet, ready, waiting for the pilot to come in and to fly the plane. And let's see what Fapi turns up. You all know Fapi. He's a prayer warrior. You can trust him. He turns up. And then he says, I feel led by the Holy Spirit to fly this plane. How many of you would stay in that plane? You know him. You stay in the plane. I like your faith. But you see, well, I can guarantee you more than half of the people in the plane will come out. Oh, see? Everybody will come down. Why? You know him. Don't you trust him? You trust him. He's a prayer warrior. He can even fast for 70 days, this guy. Yeah. I'm telling you. But why is it everybody comes out? Because you know that he hasn't been tested when it comes to flying. He hasn't been tested, and that's why you don't trust him. He needs to go through something called a certification process, which he hasn't. As long as he hasn't gone, he won't. It's the same with God. If he hasn't tested, he can't trust you. You know, it's funny. David says something in Psalm 26, verse 2. Psalm 26, verse 2. Can we go there, please? Psalm 26, verse 2. Psalm 26, verse 2. He says, test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. No, just stay on verse 2, please. Test me. Now, why would anybody ask God to test them? Why? You must be extremely confident to go before God and say, test me, O Lord, and try me, examine my heart and my mind. Why would anybody? Maybe David knew something that we didn't know. Maybe he did. Test me. It's because David understands that what has been tested can be trusted. Amen. What has been tested can be trusted. If you haven't been tested, there can be no trust. And that is what David is saying. So he goes before God and says, test me, O Lord, and try me, examine my heart and my mind. I'm not surprised God calls him a man after my own heart. Because what has been tested can be trusted. You know, I don't know the test that God wants to bring your way. And listen, this is our year of expansion. You know, God would not promote you to any place that he hasn't prepared you for. And the only way he's going to come is a test. I mean, imagine somebody who wants to go through medical school. He fails all his exams and yet they pass him through. What kind of doctor do you think they're going to be? Exactly, quack doctor, thank you. He's going to kill virtually everybody. And that's how it is in the realm of the spirit. God is not going to give you any position that you're not ready for. Because unless you are tested, you cannot be trusted. And so the first point I want to talk about this one is trust. Test rather, not trust, test. Let's not ignore the test. The test will come in various forms. And normally with God, when the test is coming, you don't even know it's a test. You just have to believe God and be submissive to what the test he has for you. And that brings me to the point, submission. Submission. Can we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16? 1 Samuel chapter 16, where we was before. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. Sorry, guys. Chapter 16. I just read 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. This is just the first verse I read, and look at it. It's so packed with stuff. Let's go to verse 2. Watch this. But Samuel said, how can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. So now God is ready to bring a new leader and he's saying to Samuel, do not do anything unless I indicate. Other interpretation says, do not do anything unless I name the person. Do not do anything unless I name the person. Yes, next verse, please. Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Now, I don't quite understand this place because God gave Samuel clear instruction like, do not anoint anyone until I indicate or until I name the person. So why is he thinking it's Eliab? Why assume when God hasn't even indicated? Why assume when God hasn't even indicated? Because if you live by what you see instead of what God is saying, you can get it wrong. If you live by what you see instead of what God is saying, Samuel is the prophet. In fact, the Bible says he's one of the prophets. None of his words fell to the ground. It tells you that it doesn't matter how long you've been in God, you cannot afford to live by sight. It has to be by the word of God. It has to be. And especially if you want to walk in the destiny and the plan and purposes that God has for you, it has to be by his word. Next verse. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In other words, God is saying to Samuel the prophet, it's not what he looks like. It's not all that glitters is gold. Never judge a book by its cover. Just because he says it the way you want to hear it, just because he looks it, just because he sounds it, just because he feels it, doesn't mean he's the one. Because you can get it wrong if you look on the outside. You can get it wrong. I remember years ago, it was for Peace House that I was in. We have a cell, and we had this guy come to the cell to pray for us. And as they always do, anybody who just lays their hand on me wants to pray for a wife for me. So what he does is, he starts praying for me, and then He says this, somebody will come your way, just be careful not to go with the person because she is the wrong person. And then he goes on to say like, he's everything, she is everything that you want. Everything that you want, everything that you think you want at least. He goes as far as even giving me a name of that person. And I say, wow, thank you, God. Because if you always live by what you see instead of what God is saying, you can miss it. You can miss it. And when it comes, there are certain decisions in your life, they are so critical and so crucial, you don't even want to get it wrong. You don't even want to get it wrong. And this is one of them. It's so crucial. It's not what it looks like God was trying to tell Samuel the prophet. It's not what it looks like. Do you know this story in Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Can we go? Now watch this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. She was found. She was probably hiding, but she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. So just imagine you're at home, you're a guy, you're a Joseph, you're at home. And then Mary comes and says to you, I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant. I mean, What would you say? How are you going to react to something like this? You're engaged to be married to Mary, and then she comes home and tells you, I'm pregnant. Joseph must be thinking, it's not John, is it? And then Mary goes, no way. Don't tell me, it's Peter. No, it can't be Peter. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy what? Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm sure Joseph must be, what is wrong with you Pentecostals and you charismatic? You're pushing it too far. The Holy Spirit, I mean, a lot of you here are born again, but if somebody came home and told you, I'm pregnant with the Holy Spirit, how would you react? Exactly. You see how funny it is? And so you have to feel for Joseph. But the Bible says, let's go to verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Quietly. Next verse. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to take her. Now listen, he's saying to Joseph, Joseph, it's not what it looks like. It's not what it looks like. Because if you're going to have to live by what you see, you would get it wrong. I'm about to do something in the entire world that is so important, but if you are going to live by what you see instead of what I'm saying, you're going to miss this and you're going to miss your blessing completely. It's not what it looks like. And so just submit to what I'm saying. And that's the second point, submission to the word of God, even though it doesn't make sense to your mind. Submission, the test, and then the submission. The test And then the submission. Because if in this year of expansion, if you can't submit, it's this idea anyway, the year of expansion. But if you can't submit to what he's saying, how are you going to expand? How are you? Can we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 16, please? 1 Samuel chapter 16, I think you're on verse 3. So there's a test and then there's the submission. 1 Samuel chapter 16. All right, I'll read from here. 1 Samuel chapter 16, I think you're on verse 3, yeah. Invite to see to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord had said. When he arrived in Bethlehem, the elders, now we've done all that. Samuel replied, yes, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Think of verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his sign, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Verse 9. Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, no, has the Lord chosen this one? Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So now the process of selecting a king has started. The process of what God wants to do has started. So Samuel goes before Jesse and he asks for all his children to come before him. So first of all, there's Eliab. Eliab comes and Samuel says, no, it's not him. And then there's Abinadab. Abinadab comes and then God says it's not him. And then there's Shammah. Shammah comes. Now the process is started. So you've got Eliab. You've got Abinadab, you've got Shammah, they're all coming, just going around. It's a process that is starting. All this time, David was in the wilderness. All this time, David was in the wilderness, fighting what? Bears and lions. That is where his test was. Now, the Bible, it says that Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. Next verse. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. But he's tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. He's got 7 sons, all passing through. All passing through. Now, 7 in the Bible is a number of completion, right? 7 in the Bible is a number of completion. So you've got Eliab. You've got Abinadab. You've got Shammah. They are going through the process of selecting a new king. Now, once the process, listen to this, once the process is complete, once all 7 of them pass before Samuel, it's a process. Once the process is complete, then David is revealed. We are all going through a process. You are all going through a process. Now, I don't know what kind of process you're going through, but once your process is complete, God will reveal the crown that is on your head. God will reveal the crown that is, everyone here wears the crown. I remember at the leadership training, you said there's a diamond in everybody. There's a diamond in everybody. Everyone has a crown. But once the process is complete, God will reveal you. God will reveal you. Now what it says, we will not sit down. We will not sit down until he is revealed. We will not sit down. So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy or ruddy with a fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise, anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. In power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Now you see, no, let's just go back. The whole time I've been reading this scripture, this is the first time David's name has been mentioned. This is the first time his name has been mentioned. Listen, once the process you're going through is over, once you pass your test, your name will come out. The whole world will know your name. You know, at times when you're at work, there's manipulation, there's politics. When you know that you deserve this position and yet there's manipulation, there's politics, the Bible says that promotion does not come from the east or from the west. It comes from the Lord. In his own time, he makes all things beautiful. It's just your duty just to stay humble like David did. Pass every test that God will bring. Submit to him and let the process do its work. And once the process is complete, God will reveal your crown. Hallelujah. I just want you to be on your feet right now. There's something that God wants to do. He's promised you the year of expansion. He's promised you the year of expansion. Now, it's a position that he wants to place you in. But he can't place you in that position unless he can trust you. Believe me, he's more willing to put you in that position than you could even ever imagine. He says it's your year of expansion. He's got your name on it. He's got your name on it already. It's yours. But he doesn't want a situation whereby he'll put you in a place that you're not ready for. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He asked for his share of the inheritance and ran away. He wasn't ready for it, and so he messed up. And God doesn't want that in your life. He doesn't want that in your life. He's got a plan for your life. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. But there are three things that he wants you to know. The test that he brings away, the submission and the process that you go through. And this one, I know he wants to do something new in your life. I know he wants to take you to a new level. Because anytime there's a change in leadership, it means there's something new God is about to do. This one, I just want you to place your hand on your heart right now. The thing is, at times you don't even know whether it's a test or not. And God's test, at times it comes without warning. And it comes in different forms, different forms. And so this morning, I just pray that God in his wisdom will give you the strength to be able to take every test that he brings your way. Because as long as you refuse to take the test, you are delaying what he wants to do in your life. I pray that God, in your mercy, and in your power and your wisdom, you touch every single person. Lord, I believe that every word that you bring to your children is because you are preparing them for what you're about to do, oh God. And maybe as we speak, Lord, there are going to be some tests coming into the lives of these people this week. I don't know, but I thank you, God, that you've prepared their minds, oh God, ready for this week. That no matter how hard the test may be, oh God, they are going to stand strong and pass that test. I pray, oh God, for a spirit of submission to your word. And I ask that, Lord, you will lead and guide them. I thank you so much, Father. I thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful thing you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.